Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. We will get into the play-in action. The Bulls season is over. The Heat are going to move on to play the Hawks, and that'll be Friday. The Warriors won yesterday, which means the Grizzlies are going to host the winner of this Kings-Mavericks game. And right now, the Mavericks have a 53-39 lead with 5 minutes to go. It'd be more interesting if the Mavericks did get in, because then we could continue to bash them for a while. I personally am rooting for them to lose because one of the sports minutes I'm recording for tomorrow, I wrote it already. And it says, the Dallas Mavericks season has come to an end after falling to the Sacramento Kings in the play-in tournament on Wednesday.
Are you professional or not?
So I don't want to have to change it. I guess I could adjust it. I haven't recorded anything yet, so I could change it. But I think I jinxed myself. I want to talk about the Mavericks and Nico Harrison, and there's more of the reporting that came out about this closed-door meeting. Specifically the fact that the owner made him do it, because that doesn't really make any sense. He answered some questions after the trade. Their season's not over yet. And so then he had a closed-door meeting with some reporters. Why now? Why the timing? Sham Sharania, ESPN, this was not his idea. This was something that was enforced by their owner, Patrick Dumont. Why are you doing that? That's weird. Do it sooner? Do it after? Do it with cameras? This whole thing is weird. This whole thing seems very self-sabotorial. Is that a word? Here's my question. If you were an outside agent and you told Nico Harrison, tear apart this organization from the inside, what would he have done differently up to this point? Nothing. You're going to trust the guy that's gotten you in this position? Now, I don't want to say too much because this team has a 12-point lead here with 28 minutes of NBA action to play. And as we all know, whoever's leading after 14 minutes of gameplay or 16 minutes or 18 minutes, I can't do math, 20 minutes? Games never change hands late, so very interesting to see how that goes down tonight. I'm so sorry. I got to get something off my chest that is related to my personal life, if I may. There's a sports angle to it, so maybe somebody, I say this knowing that it will help me, because sometimes I just need to get like things off my chest, and then I can focus on the rest of the night. You know, that happens. People in their workplace, right? You just got to vent for a little bit, and then you can go, and then you can, you know, really focus. So for me to focus on the rest of the show, I need to get something off my chest. And it is sports-related. And Carlos, you can be the Ed McMahon sidekick where you either have commentary on it or just say, oh, man, that sucks.
Okay.
But I had to get something off my chest. I'm coaching my kids' soccer team. I've talked about that.
Oh, man,
that
sucks.
In the fall. There's more to it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So far, it's trending like death.
We played in the fall, and we play again in the spring. And we had our first practice last night, and it went relatively okay. I was satisfied with the practice, and we got another practice next week. And then we have games every Saturday the rest of April, May, and the first weekend of June. Ugh. So what is that, 7 weeks? It's not terrible. I'm not to the bad part yet. It's not terrible.
That's now, there's not the one, bad part?
There's 1 week where there's a doubleheader where we have to play two games in a row. And, okay, that's kind of weird, but every team's got to play one at some point. And I've got 12 kids on my team. You play four at a time. So I thought, you know what? This is a good – that'd be a fun, busy morning. They end up playing for an hour at the park anyway. Might as well have them focus up and play a game. I don't hate it. So as soon as the schedule comes out, one of the dads, one of the coaches is like, hey, can we reschedule a game in June? We have a doubleheader. And I'm like, well, I'd be doing him a favor, and it doesn't change my doubleheader, and he wanted to do it on some Sunday, and we're doing Saturdays, and I'm not, you know, I want to keep Sunday free. I want to keep Sunday open.
I'm with you.
Plus, another thing I don't want to have to do is I've got 12 families that I'm corresponding with on my team. I don't want to bombard them with changes and emails all the time. People live busy lives, and there's a lot of moving parts. And when you sign up for a soccer league and you're told practices are on Tuesdays and games are on Saturdays, then you plan everything else around that, right? You might do swimming on Sundays. You might do taekwondo or whatever kids are doing. And so I don't want to, like, oh, by the way, here. So, but at least he gave me 2 months in advance. He ended up not needing to reschedule the game. I wasn't into that anyway, but everything worked out. And it was a big stressor on me because I don't like being asked favors that, like, don't benefit. That's not what I mean, but I could do a favor for a person. But this, it seemed like my life was fine. I was doing fine. I had a schedule that was fine. And then there was a monkey wrench thrown into it that I didn't think needed to exist. Because of somebody else's schedule making, now all of a sudden I'm the one who has to come up with a solution. I didn't like that.
No, I'm with you. I actually think the worst part of it, your story, is what you said earlier. The fact that you got to commit 7 Saturdays. That sounds like hell. Yeah.
So that I got out of the way. That was settled this morning. Hey, we can keep the game. It's all good. I felt a huge weight lift off my shoulders. Just a huge burden released. Not an hour goes by before I get another email that we have our first game next Saturday. That coach wants to change it to Sunday.
What the hell did you just say to me?
So the first guy's giving me 2 months. This guy's trying to give me a week. What came up? And so now I got to deal with telling this guy no. We got the schedule. I don't want to be in charge of rescheduling. It's already enough. So I'm very annoyed with it.
Are you the coach or the commissioner? It sounds like you're running the league.
Yeah, I'm just a lowly coach.
Whoa.
I'm just a lowly coach that has had experience coaching soccer, and especially with kids this age. And I thought, rather than watch somebody else do it and complain the whole time about how I could do better, I thought, I'll do it.
This is not your job.
I've been satisfied with it. If the parents don't like my work, they're saying it behind their backs.
I'm waiting for that first parent that's going to complain about playing time or something that just set you off. Well, I better see a video of you suplexing somebody.
But now the season hasn't even started, and I'm, you know, juggling. I'm putting more into my schedule more than Rob Manfred puts into the MLB schedule. So I'm very annoyed. So I emailed this guy during the last break. I basically said no.
Yeah, the schedule's the schedule.
Also, I don't like that I didn't get a reason. I think he might be going to the draft, honestly.
No, he's got a date. First of all, you're moving. He wants to move the game from Saturday to Sunday.
He's got a kid. He's coaching his kid.
All the more reason he's going on a date.
Look. We made a commitment. I work Fridays and get home. I don't go to bed, you know, 2:33 at the earliest.
Oh, no.
I got to turn around and get up at 7:30 to coach these games. I make a sacrifice. Why do I got it? So do you understand why, one, I'm upset, and two, why I had to get that off my chest to plow forward?
I think you did the right thing. It would have eaten at you for the next couple hours, and you would have done a disservice to the listeners by, A, not telling that story, and, two, holding it on, letting it affect your performance for anything else that we wanted to talk about. So I applaud you.
Well, the Mavs are up 20, so I'm also going to have to rewrite my sports.
Yeah, that sports minute's dead. Good thing you didn't record it yet. You've been wasting everybody's time.
Well, I was going to record a win and a loss one, and I thought, no, it'll be... Now I'm going to write it where it's vague. I'm going to write it where And then I'm too inside.
I mean, you could also wait two quarters.
Yeah, okay, I can maybe do that. But, you know, then it gets whatever.
Yeah, but then why do anything now? We have no idea if this score is going to stick. The Mavs could just lay the biggest egg on planet Earth and lose this game, and then all's well. Either way, basically, content is going to be created.
Yeah, basically, my minute is just going to be about if Nico Harrison was sent to what I said earlier, if he was trying to destroy the Mavs from within, what would he have done different? I can do that with or lose because, you know, he's a disaster. Certainly.
Not for the Lakers. They can't wait to hire him.
Yeah. Well, so this Nico Harrison story was amplified this week because of that meeting that he had with reporters that he invited, or he felt like he had to invite some. He didn't invite everyone. It was on short notice, and there were no cameras or recording devices. And Tim McMahon, ESPN, he does the Hoop Collective podcast. He was one of these guys that was there, and he was really like grinding Nico. He says he also has a story coming out about why Dirk Nowitzki and Mark Cuban are no longer involved with the franchise, but won't release it until the Mavs are eliminated.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. I actually have Tim McMahon talking about it. He was asked why the Mavs are being disrespectful to Dirk Nowitzki. He spoke to our counterparts in Dallas at 105.3 The Fan, and I'll just make an executive decision and play what Tim McMahon had to say.
Thank you.
Boy, that's a hell of a question.
Thank you.
That is one hell of a question. And they are fortunate that Dirk wants to bite his tongue. I'll put it to you like that. They're fortunate that Dirk is still biting his tongue. I don't know. Again, I'm not going to try to explain logic that I don't understand. So I'm serious. Like, I don't know.
Tim McMahon has been somebody that the fans have thought was not doing enough or not treating them fairly. But he came out almost full court press and was like, why are you doing the things that you do? The first question he gave was, you've got an outraged fan base. It's been outraged since the day you made the trade. The overwhelming majority opinion of your fan base is they want you fired. How do you respond to that? And why do you believe that the owner shouldn't take you up on that? I mean, that's a hell of a way to start a Q&A, but those are the questions that need to be asked. And he pressed him on a bunch of different things, a bunch of different conversation pieces, a bunch of different things regarding other trades. I've got a little bit here. Tim McMahon saying, what's your understanding of why Dirk has decided he's not going to be involved? Nico said, I don't know. That's better for him. Tim McMahon said, do you factor in his feelings before you fired people that you know were very good friends of his? Nico says, I didn't fire them. Their contracts ended. Tim said they ended because you made the decision to move on from them. Nico said, no, my obligations to the Dallas Mavericks. It's what's in the best interest of the Dallas Mavericks, and that's the most important thing. Again, maybe some of those decisions are going to be unpopular, maybe to Dirk and maybe to the fans, but my obligation is to the Dallas Mavericks. That was the initial quote that we had talked about a little yesterday as Mark Cuban jumped on it and said, Dirk is the Dallas Mavericks. Nico kept saying, I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth with the guys who we decided to move on from. We're excited about the team that we have. We feel that the guys that replace them have done an amazing job. Defense wins championships. So it was a weird Q&A to exist in the first place. It was weird that it happened now. It was weird that not a lot of people were invited. And it was weird that it wasn't recorded in any way. Tim McMahon on that Hoop Collective podcast saying what he told those guys is there's a lot more, like Dirk's biting his tongue, and this ESPN reporter is going to have more at some point waiting respectfully for the team that's playing until they're eliminated, unless you thought they were getting eliminated tonight like I did, and he'll just release it tomorrow anyway. But he sees no signs of things getting better there anytime soon.
Christian Clark with The Athletic asked him a little bit later, hey, when those picks are due, do you envision yourself as a general manager? The man said, I've got 3 years left on my contract. I plan on finishing that. In other words, he ain't going to be holding the bag. This is what happens when you let somebody who's got a very short-term view make long-term decisions. Your franchise gets completely bleeped for the long term. This thing is dark in Dallas, and it's going to get worse. This is going to be potentially a 90s type of disaster of a franchise in Dallas.
Defense wins championships.
Oh, Windhorse, get it in there too. And I'll say the same thing I said yesterday, because I want to reiterate it. I thought it was smart, and that's why I do that. The whole framing that Nico Harrison has had in Dallas, and if they win tonight, like, that does not justify anything. This is, you're playing for the right to not be the 9 seed. You're not a good basketball team. He had a long-term window with Luka, which he sacrificed for a short-term window with Anthony Davis.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast,
which had no guarantee of being better in the short term than the short-term window with Luka. So he had a long-term approach, which he cut into a third, and his approach isn't, it's not like he traded for LeBron James. It's like, okay, well, now in the short term, you got LeBron James, but he's paired back up again with Kyrie, and it's LeBron James, and yeah, you sacrifice long-term for short-term, but it's LeBron James. It's not like it's that. It's you had a long-term plan with Luka. You got rid of most of it. Your short-term plan is not any better than it was before. No matter how you try to defense wins championship, see, justify it. And he keeps trying to act like he's the smartest person in the room, which you only do if you've traveled to the future and then have come back in time and can't reveal that you've actually seen it play out. So you have to just be quiet. Like, Doctor Strange couldn't say, yeah, well, Tony Stark, the only way that we're going to beat Thanos is if you die.
If I tell you what happens, it won't happen.
Spoiler alert, by the way. I know. I'm sorry.
It's been a couple years. They're fine.
Do you guys all know that Tony Stark is dead? Yeah, Tony Stark died.
But wait, is he?
And the only other way is if you know you're wrong and you're too ashamed to admit it, then you don't just stay neutral. You double down on the decision you made and back yourself into a corner. The analogy I used yesterday was Nico's trying to win a championship, and all he needs to do in this game of cricket, this game of darts, is hit a single 18. He's 18 points away from blanking out the board and winning. And instead of throwing three darts at an 18, he decided, I'm going to throw these three darts and try to hit triple twos. 6, 6, 6, 18. That's how I'm going to win. I'm going to outsmart you. But it doesn't make any sense why you would ever do that. You have less chances at getting a higher level of difficulty thing done. Why would you do it? And he's out there still trying to justify it, and he's going to keep trying to justify it, and he's probably not here for the long term. And how the Dallas Mavericks can just let somebody come in and take over their organization who has no regard for the past. I mean, if you're like a Mavericks anything, you don't have to, you know, bend at the feet of Dirk Nowitzki every time he walks in the building. But you've got to understand that Dirk Nowitzki is a very important part of that franchise. And the guy that you have now as your focal piece is basically like a new generation's Dirk Nowitzki. A guy coming from overseas, thinking he would spend his entire career with the team that brought him over, getting to an NBA Finals, Dirk winning, Luka still young enough to do it at some point. Just a mess of a situation in Dallas as they do have the lead. Again, I don't know how relevant this is. They would still have to play Friday, and then they would have to play the Thunder. So we're just prolonging the inevitable that the season is going to come to an embarrassing end. But they are up 71-48 at the half. So I think there's some questions about Sacramento, or as we call them, the Western Conference Bulls. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. More details on this meeting and maybe what's next for these teams that are going to be dropping their season tonight. Also, a look at the MLB, our initial power rankings. A team that I refuse to put in the top five because I don't think they're very good. And I've seen them in person enough, Carlos, to believe it.
Go, Cubs, go!
888-710.
You all right there?
For ISN. We'll be back on the Bart Winkler Show. And this portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Been talking about this meeting between Nico Harrison and members of the Dallas Mavericks beat, including one Tim McMahon of ESPN. I just want to give you a little bit more of how this went down as the Mavericks. You know, my whole point of doing this was going to be trashing the Mavericks as they were getting trashed by the Kings. They are currently in action right now. It's at halftime. They are beating Sacramento 71-48. But this is not proving anything. They're 39-43 and good enough to be up 23 points on a 40-42 team at halftime. Nico Harrison is probably going to get all smug and take a little victory lap before they either lose to the Grizzlies or beat them and get waxed by the Thunder. Tim McMahon told Nico Harrison, GM of the Mavericks, in your own words, you created a 3 to 4 year time frame in building a finals team, a team that went to the finals last season. You gave up your first round capital control of it in 27, 28, 29, and 30. So 3 to 4 years ends, you're out of your first round draft capital. How is that a logical decision? Explain the logic of that for the long-term best interest of the franchise. Nico Harrison said, can you repeat that? Tim McMahon, 27-30, you're out of your first-round capital. Your own words, you created a 3 to 4 year time frame. When the credit card bill comes due, your time frame is over. How is that in the best interest of the long-term interest of the franchise? Again, 27-30, you're out of your capital. You build a finals team doing it, and you traded the guy who led that finals team. How is that in the long-term best interest when he's at the time a 25-year-old generational talent who could have a 10 to 12-year runway? He's one of the best players we have ever seen. Nico Harrison, I keep saying the same thing, but defense wins championships. Man, they really just must have thought Luka was the worst defender of all time. So then what you do is you get guys around him that can maybe defend, and you let him flourish for who he is. Or you trade him for Anthony Davis, I guess. Nico said, I believe that we have a championship caliber team, not only for now, but the future. Obviously, the future will hold if I'm right or wrong, and ultimately, we're going to be held to the standards of wins and losses. Tim McMahon, your long-term best interest, though, 25, 26, 7, there's your 3 years. Then you're out of first-round capital. How does that make sense? Like I said, we believe in the move we made. You obviously don't. That's fine. You're entitled to your opinions, but we're excited about the future of our team. Tim McMahon, that's not what I believe. I'm asking your logic. Again, I think the future will hold. I think once we win, then that will change your mind. And you didn't believe that the team that went to the finals last year with Luka as a centerpiece could continue to contend for championships? I'll say this again. Defense wins championships. Luka Doncic is not the greatest defender in the world. Some nights, he's also actually not good at all. Bad. But he is one of the five best players in the sport. And you don't trade him. And if you do trade him, you trade him and get more in return for him. When you trade a guy like Luka, if you're looking at the best long-term interest of your team, you have to then get some long-term interest of your team. You trade a guy like Luka for future draft picks and young players, similar to what the Thunder did. They traded Paul George, and they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They got a bunch of picks, turns into Jalen Williams. Like, they set themselves up for a future. We're going to trade a guy who's good. We're going to set ourselves up for the future in doing that. That's how that works. You don't trade him to shorten your window and handcuff yourself from competing further down the window. The other trade that they made, which I think is a nice kind of subplot into how terrible this guy might be and was thinking, was the Quentin Grimes trade for Caleb Martin. Now, Caleb Martin, 29 years old, he's been a, you know, worthy role player with the Sixers. He was having to start for a while, you know, score 8 points a game. Kind of a 3-and-D guy, I guess. When he got traded to Dallas, he had scored about 5 points a game, playing about 21 minutes a game. So he gets out there, you know, runs around, plays a little defense. All right. But they traded him for Quentin Grimes. And Quentin Grimes has had you know, a little bit of a kind of journeyman start to his career. I think he was at the Knicks at one point. They trade him. He's averaging 12 points a game, I should say. They trade him to Philadelphia, who's had injuries since he's been with Philadelphia. Well, the month of April, he averaged 22 points a game in 35 minutes. The month of March, he averaged 26 points a game. He's had games where he scored 44, 46, and they traded him. And not only did they trade him, but the Mavs gave up one of their 2025 second-round picks to get Caleb Martin. So you traded a younger guy who is a better scorer for an older guy, and you also gave them a pick to do it. So just another bad trade and another bad situation. And so Tim Cato, another guy that was interviewing, said, "Nico, you didn't speak following the trade deadline. I think I understand loosely why that trade was made. You guys didn't feel like you were going to be able to keep him. But why did you attach a pick to that trade?" Nico said, "Well, it was about getting Caleb Martin. We like Grimes. I think it worked out for both teams. He's a free agent. For us, you know, we weren't really interested in that. We had the opportunity to get Caleb, which gave us the opportunity to afford itself because Anthony Davis gave us a trade kicker. And so we wanted to do that. But the perception is Grimes is a younger, better player than Caleb Martin," Tim Cato said. "Maybe you disagree, but why was a second-round pick, a valuable second-round pick, attached to that deal?" Nico, "Well, if you don't like Caleb, then you're not going to like the trade. But we valued Caleb more, so we also got a second-round pick back. They eventually got one in 2030, I believe." Either you know, there's one more possible scenario here, because the scenarios that I'm at right now are Nico Harrison went to the future, saw these insane things that would work, has to come back, do the things, can't explain why he knows they will work, and has to defend it and talk himself in the knots until we all see the vision. So I don't think that one's likely. The other thing could be he was an agent sent by somebody to sabotage the Mavericks. Maybe not likely either, but what would he have done different is a question I like to ask. Another one could be he's just not smart I think that is the leader in the clubhouse. Or he is being the scapegoat and he is doing things that he is being asked to do, but then he's asked to defend it. And I know there's been some sort of conspiratorial things about all the owners are doing this because of this and they want this. I think it's the simplest thing is Nico Harrison believes that what he is doing is right. But then he sees that he's not right. But then he can't back out of it because he's already so far in. He's in too deep. And so here we have Nico Harrison being shown on TV every 3 seconds as the Mavs have a 26-point lead over the Sacramento Kings. This team was in an NBA Finals last year. And now we're supposed to be celebrating a lead over the Sacramento Kings in the 9-10 game of the play-in tournament? I refuse. I refuse to participate in that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Worst in five coming up, our first stab at baseball. Right now, an update, it's Marco Belletti.
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst in Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
It is time for our Worst in Five Power Rankings. We did it through the football season. We've been doing it through the NBA and NHL seasons. And now we're dipping into the playoffs in those. So let's do it for Major League Baseball throughout the summer. I argued for baseball. Carlos, being a big NYCFC fan now, wanted to do MLS.
True.
But we're going to go with Major League Baseball.
Thank God.
Worst team in the league, record-wise, are the Rockies.
You suck!
I can't do it, though. I have to give it to the White Sox.
You suck!
So Rockies are 3-14. White Sox are 4-13. Oh, look, the Rockies is just a slow start, man. They'll turn things around. Things will get better. The White Sox still have the stink of last year on them, and it doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon. So with only winning 41 games it was last year, I'm going to continue to hammer them until somebody else deserves it. White Sox for me, Carlos.
You suck!
I like where your head's at because, yes, even though the Rockies only have 3 wins, statistically they're the worst in terms of record, I also did not go with them. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
You suck!
And the reason for that is they play in one of the most mid-divisions of all time, the NL Central, where it seems like 85 to 88 wins consistently can win it. Hell, the Cardinals have won the World Series with like 85 wins. So it's like, all you got to do is just sneak in. And Pirates fans, they got it rough, man. You got Bob Nuttington as an owner who just doesn't want to spend a damn penny. They botched this whole advertising thing with Roberto Clemente, taking away his number for an advertisement. And then they had to put it back because it was like, my bad. We didn't mean to do that. We actually just meant to move it. And then they tossed out all those bricks that people had bought with like tributes and like, loved ones' names on them. And those bricks were found in like the dump. So the Pirates are a dump. They're a poverty organization. As much as I would love to just point at my fingers and laugh at Pirates fans because they're my division rival, I feel bad for them. They really do deserve better. I don't think we will ever see the Pirates win a World Series ever in my lifetime, or our lifetime, and that's pretty pathetic. So I'm gonna go with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
You suck.
I think we could do more of a job of hammering them in a little bit. Jeff Passan getting some circulation for some stuff he had to say about Pittsburgh today. Passan doing the work of good lately, I would contend. All right, best teams in the league. I'll start at number one.
Number one.
So, I'm expecting you to say Dodgers, as you've been saying it's always going to be the Dodgers. I want to do that too, but for now, I will pay respect to the record that the Padres have put up, 15-4 right now to start the season, 12-1 at home. The Padres have been playing very good baseball. They are atop the NL West, not the Dodgers. It's the Padres beating the schlubs tonight, as I call them.
Go scratch.
Padres at number one. At number two.
Number two.
Yeah, I'll put the Dodgers at number two. I've got no problem with that. 13-6 playing the Rockies here tonight with a one-run lead in the fifth. Number three.
Number three.
We will just round out the division. That NL West looks very good right now. The three teams with the best records in baseball are all in the NL West. The Giants at 13-5, so top three, Padres, Dodgers, Giants. And then who else? Number four.
Number four.
You know what? I'm going to take the New York Yankees. I know that a Yankee fan may have their disapproval. Not everything's perfect. There's still issues. There always are. There always will be. But the AL East representative in the World Series, 11-7. Atop the AL East, good enough for me. At number five.
Number five.
We'll put the Texas Rangers up there. This could be a whole bunch of teams. Tigers are 10-8. Mets 11-7. Diamondbacks, Cubs 12-9. But I'll go the Rangers. So my top five as of the first week we're doing this. Padres, Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, Rangers. Carlos.
All right. My number one team.
Number one.
It's actually not going to be the Dodgers. I hate how simpatico we are. I'm going to go with the Padres also. I would respect the best record in baseball. They also got the best run differential in baseball right now. They've only lost once at home, and that was a loss in extra innings against a really good team. You better put some damn respect on, and I'll get to in a little bit. Padres, by the way, they're doing this without Jackson Merrill, who they signed to a big extension coming off of his rookie year. They got Bryce Johnson from the Pirates. So just imagine when Merrill rejoins the team. So the Padres will get the top spot for me. Number two.
Number two.
And same thing, simpatico with the Dodgers. Yeah, they're third in the NL West. That division's very good. Yes, their offense has been stagnant, but we know who they have in that lineup. And they are 5-5 in their last 10, but they're 7-4 against teams over 500. And they've already battled some injuries already. They're going to get back Freddie Freeman soon. They just got back Dustin May into the rotation. So the Dodgers are going to be just fine. They're going to wind up with the best record in the league. It's just 162-0 is off the table. So Dodgers at number two for me. Number three.
Number three.
Put some respect on my Cubbies. Honestly, this isn't even a homer pick, Bart.
Three.
They are the third best team in the National League. They're the best team in baseball. Dude, they have a murderer's row in terms of their schedule. They have had to play the Dodgers twice. They wound up winning one of those series away from Tokyo. I don't even count the Tokyo series because that was two games. Yeah, they dropped the series to the Padres. They finally lost two straight. But the Padres are the best team in baseball. They took a series from them earlier. They're playing literally with the toughest schedule right now, and they have scored the most runs in baseball. Now, that bullpen scares the bleep out of me, but the Cubs are really good. So the fact that you don't even have them in the top five just shows how much of your Brewer bias I am not going to be able to stomach.
Yeah, I am being a hater. I probably would if I wasn't a hater. They'd probably be five, but I'm a hater.
You are a hater, and I'm glad you acknowledge that. So the Cubs for me are at three, and I'm someone who crushes my team. At number four.
Number four.
I probably really should have the San Francisco Giants at three, but, you know, again, I think the Cubs are playing phenomenal baseball, and the Giants are really damn good, too. I didn't know Matt Chapman was going to make such a difference for them at third base. You know, he's really unlocked another part of that offense I wasn't expecting, so I'll give some credit to the Giants. I like them at number four. At number five.
Number five.
This one is a little bit of a futuristic pick for me. I'm going to go with the Mets here. They're only 11-7. They're not playing that great, but I see the vision. Mark Vientos is off to a really slow start. Brett Beatty sucks. He's probably going to get out of the league soon. Edwin Diaz has been very shaky as their closer. They've got nothing from second base, but Jeff McNeil's going to come back. I think Juan Soto pumped the brakes. He'll be just fine. And Pete Alonso is probably one of the scariest hitters in the majors right now. So I like what the Mets are doing. I think they're going to take a quantum leap forward. And that's saying a lot considering they went to the NLCS last year. So at number one, the Padres. Number two, the Dodgers. Number three, the Cubs. Number four, the Giants. And number five, the Mets in my top five.
Juan Soto's got three home runs. He's homered in two straight games. Well, I don't know, but did they play tonight?
I don't think they played tonight. They played earlier. They lost.
Oh, he was over five
in Twins.
Yeah, he's over. Are people having buyer's remorse on Juan Soto over there?
Yes. The New York chatter is a lot of people are like panicking, and they need to calm down. I get we're in the content business, but relax. Yeah.
They need to stop being panickins, is what I say.
Well done.
All right. We will be back to trash the Chicago Bulls.
Can't wait.
Get in on that on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.